Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. I would like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I would encourage everybody here to, during this coming week, to spend every night reading over Deuteronomy chapter 28. I think there's as vivid a picture and clear a picture of what God sets before His people as there is anywhere in the Bible. There are several times in the book of Deuteronomy that God's word just says, now, here's what happens if you obey God, and here's what happens if you disobey God. He'll say, now, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choice is yours. But He exhorts us, choose life. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the word of God in the first 14 verses tells us of the blessings that God has promised to the people of God when they serve God and keep His commandments. These blessings, God is going to send those blessings in a great and a mighty way. He uses the expression that these blessings will overtake them if they keep the commandments of God. The blessings are going to come. But then in verses 15 through the end of the chapter, for the next about 50 verses, God tells the cursings that He will send when we individually, or as a family or a church or as a nation, these are the cursings that God sends when we turn our backs on God and fail to serve God and fail to keep His commandments and fail to honor God, just as He said that the blessings will overtake us if we keep the commandments of God. He says now, these cursings will overtake you if you turn your back on God. It grieves my heart greatly at the way that our nation has turned her back on God. It's almost inconceivable that in such a short period of time that our nation, I'm talking about in my lifetime, I've seen our nation turn from a nation that feared God and loved God. Everybody in the nation didn't fear and love God when I was a boy. But that was predominant in America when I was a young man. Our nation, the leaders of our nation, the laws of our land were based upon the Word of God. And they honored God and they feared God. And now in the past, my short generation, I've seen our government turn completely against God. Despise the name of Jesus. That name that was honored in our nation is now a shame and a disgrace to our government. And it grieves my heart. But I want you to know that even though our nation and our government may turn their backs on God, that does not change the fact that if you do what God would have you to do, God is going to take care of you. God will bless you. No matter what He does to our nation, God has always had a remnant of people that have feared, loved, and obeyed God. And God always takes care of His faithful people. No matter what He does to the nation, He still blesses His people that serve and love Him. He blesses them in an abundant way. I want to just touch on just a few verses from the first 14 verses, just mentioning some of the blessings that God promises when we will keep His commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let me just read the first three or four verses. Deuteronomy 28, the Word of God says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." You think God did that? You think it was America that in her wisdom or in her military strength or in her financial success, do you think that it was America and the people that caused America to be so great? Or do you think it was God that lifted up America? I believe it was God did. "When we keep the commandments, the Lord our God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings," listen now to verse 2, "and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed," now He's going to begin enumerating blessings. He says in verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed, he keeps on verse after verse, blessed, blessed, blessed. Look at all the blessings as you go home. Look at all the blessings that God has promised to his people when they fear him and love him and keep his commandments. These blessings will overtake you. Come down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, the Lord, still talking about those that fear God and keep his commandments, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land whither the Lord thy God giveth thee. Come down to verse 12. Verse 12 says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Isn't that amazing? How rich is God? The Lord of God says here, the Lord shall open unto you his treasure. God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out more blessings upon us than we can ever begin to imagine. So he says in verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain into thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Do you hear the last statement there? This is the blessing God says he will pour out on a nation that fear God and keep his commandments. He said, thou shalt lend to other nations, and you won't have to borrow from other nations. That's the way it was in our land. That's not the way it is today. We are deeply, deeply in debt today. We owe other nations more than we can ever begin to pay them. We used to loan to other nations and did not borrow from anyone. Here's what it says in verse 13. This is one of the main points I want us to look at in Deuteronomy 28. Verse 13 says, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them. He says, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. Now, brethren, I want us to understand that God is the one that makes someone the head and not the tail. God is the one that puts somebody on top, and God is the one that puts them on the bottom. God is the one that sends the blessings, and God is the one that sends the cursings. It's God with whom we have to do. It's God that we have to give account to in our lives. And God will either make you individually and your family and this church and the nation, God will either make you the head or he'll make you the tail. And the promise in verse 13 is, if you keep his commandments, God says, I'll make you the head and not the tail. Now, he comes on in the next part, but see verse 15? Look at verse 15. This is where everything begins to change. And he gives the rest of the story or the other side. He says now in verse 15, But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these, what's the next word there? Curses. Now, what has he said repeatedly in the first 14 verses? He said, I'm going to be sending you what? I'm going to send you blessings if you hearken to the voice of the Lord our God to obey and to keep his statutes and commandments. But if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, he says, I'm going to send you cursings. That means I'm going to make you the tail instead of the head. I'm going to put you on bottom instead of on top. I'm going to curse you instead of bless you. The same people, I think that many people today feel like, well, now, if I'm a child of God, I don't have to be concerned too much. If I'm saved by grace, if heaven is my home when I die, I don't have to be too concerned about how I live here in this world. I think there are a lot of people today who believe in eternal security that take that as an excuse to live like they want to here in this world. They don't understand that the same God who has saved us by his grace, that same God requires a lot of his people He requires his people to obey him and to hearken to his voice. And the same people that he loves so much, the same ones who are saved eternally, the same ones who will be with God in the eternal heaven, God will take his people and he will destroy his people. The people of God that he loves with all of his heart can become the enemies of God. That's taught repeatedly in the scriptures. That God will turn and become our enemy. Though we might have been his friend, he will turn and he will become our enemy. And he will begin to curse us rather than to bless us. You go on and read all the rest of chapter 28, the rest of those verses. Let me just notice in verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Verse 18 says, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. What he's doing here, he's saying, now, if you follow me and keep my commandments, you're going to have these blessings in your life. And he says, if you don't, you're going to have these cursings in your life. Come down, he kind of summarizes it in toward the middle of the chapter in verse 44. Listen to 43 and 44. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, listen please to verse 43. The word of God says, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. You know what that's saying? Saying that the people who are not part of that nation, the people who are strangers in that nation, they will be over you. He says, the stranger that is within thee shall get thee up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, that is, the stranger in the nation. He will have dominion over you, and he will lend to you, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. And so, brethren, if you look at the Word of God carefully in this chapter especially, I mean, it's as clear as night and day. Obey God, experience his blessings. Disobey God, and experience his cursings. It's God, listen carefully, it's God that builds up, and it's God that tears down. It's God that has blessed you. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Whatever blessings you have in your life, it's God that has lifted you up to where you are. Everything that you have, your family, your children, every blessing, every knowledge of the truth that you have, every material blessing that you have, and every spiritual blessing, it's God that's lifted you up like that. And God told his people Israel, he says, now, when you are blessed by God to go into the land of Canaan and to have all those blessings in the land of Canaan, he says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God that brought thee out of Egypt and gave you this land. And that's what's happened to us today. We have been brought into a land of milk and honey. I believe that the United States of America is to the Gentiles what Jerusalem was to the Jews. And you and I have experienced great blessings, and God has lifted up America. God has blessed America. And now we have turned our back on God. God will do the same thing to the Gentiles that he did to the Jews. He warns us, especially if you go home and read Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. He says to the Gentiles, he says, now you better beware. You better look at how I have dealt with the Jews. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You go home and study. You get some history books, and you read about God's judgments on the Jews. And for the past 2,000 years, they have been under the judgments of God. And yet God has a remnant, even among those Jews, that cannot be taken over. Did you know they would have been completely annihilated had it not been for God's protective hand over a few of them? Certainly the United States of America has stopped protecting them. Isn't that true? And brethren, I just want us to understand that our nation is going to fall. But I have good news for you, that no matter what happens to the government and no matter what happens to our nation, that just as the children of Israel, when they were taken into captivity in Egypt or when they were taken into captivity in Babylon, every time that God would allow his people to be taken over by other nations, God caused that. God brought that because of their disobedience. Every time, God has always had a remnant. Even in that in that slavery, even in that position of having others reign and rule over them, those that have been faithful to God, in the midst of all of that, God has been with them in a miraculous way. And so I want to encourage everybody here tonight to understand it's God who will either make you the head or God will make you the tail. God knows your heart and God knows my heart. God knows what moves and motivates me to do everything I do. Sometimes I don't know for sure why I'm doing some things, but God knows. He knows why I'm doing everything I do. And God judges His people according to their works while they live here in this world. And if our works are wood and hay and stubble, He's going to burn it up. He's going to burn it up. But if our works are gold and silver and precious stones, then our lives will be blessed abundantly by God. I was thinking just now about Haman. Do you remember Haman and how much he hated Mordecai? Now, at the time that you begin to read the book of Esther, Mordecai in the beginning of the book, as far as man could see, was Mordecai the head or was Mordecai the tail in the beginning of the book of Esther? Was he the head or the tail? Well, some say head and some say tail. In a spiritual sense, he might have been the head, but I'm telling you, he was the tail as far as men were concerned. And there was another man. Of course, the king, Ahasuerus, was a head. But the king, Ahasuerus, had made another man ruler over all the princes. And that man's name was what? Haman. And Haman thought he was the head. Problem with Haman was that he was lifted up in vain pride. And sometimes when God does bless people to get lifted up, I'm talking about when God makes them the head, sometimes they forget who made them the head. That's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. God lifted him up. God made him the head, and he forgot God, and so God made him the tail. And then after he lived as a tail for a while, then God lifted him up, and his understanding returned to him, and he blessed the Most High God. Then God lifted him up. In the book of Esther, we read about Mordecai and Haman hated Mordecai. Mordecai would not bow down. Now, Mordecai was a prisoner. Mordecai was in captivity. And Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman. Everybody else was bowing down to Haman, but Mordecai would not bow down. So there's a sense in which Mordecai was a head, even while it looked like he was a tail. Do you understand what I mean right there? That is, he was faithful to God and conscientious in his service to God, and God was pleased with Mordecai's life. And so when Haman began to, he hated Mordecai so much that he built a gallows, I think it was 50 cubits high. There was no reason. You get somebody two feet off the ground and hang them, that's it. He built it 50 feet high, and he was going to hang Mordecai. Haman was going to hang Mordecai on those gallows. And then he thought he would be really the head. But do you know what happened to Haman when he was in the midst of all that evil thinking? Did you know there was somebody else in control, and it wasn't King Ahasuerus? Even the hearts of the king are in the hand of God, and God just turned them whithersoever he will. Did you know God could take the president we have and have him make laws that are completely contrary to what he even believes in? He could reverse everything. Our Supreme Court could just go in a doing about. Sometimes I'm shocked at some decisions they make. Doesn't fit with everything else, but God is still in control. And I'm not going to read, you go home and read the book of Esther, but I do want you to remember that Haman, who built those gallows to hang Mordecai, Haman was hanged on those same gallows. You see, God can make somebody the tail. Doesn't matter how much money they have. Doesn't matter what their position is. Doesn't matter how much authority they have. All God has to do is speak the word, and they become the tail. And somebody else who's looked down on can be lifted up and become the head. Go with me. Look at one other scripture in the Old Testament. Then we're going to go to the New Testament. I want you to notice in, let's go ahead to Luke. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14 very quickly, if you will. Luke chapter 14. I just want to caution everybody here that you not become high-minded when God is the one who's lifted you up. Whatever you have, you better beware of getting high-minded. Sometimes we get proud. Sometimes we think like the Pharisee did when we think and he prayed, "Oh, Father, I thank you. I'm not as other men are. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes and I do all of these things. Did you know I've been in that same exact boat in my life where I thought how good a Christian I was? I'm serious. There's been a few times in my life I thought I was probably the best Christian on the face of the earth. That pride. You know what God does every time you get lifted up in pride? Every time you think you're the head, He'll show you how He can bring you down and make you the tail. We need God's help. We need to understand the seriousness of hearkening to the voice of the Lord and obeying the voice of the Lord. And we need to understand the consequences of not hearkening to the voice, not honoring God, and not serving God. Because God is the one who makes people the head and makes other people the tail. Luke chapter 14. Look, please, at the scripture beginning in verse 7. Luke chapter 14 and verse 7. The Word of God says, "And He put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when He marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room." That's going to be the, give me another word for the highest room, connecting it to Deuteronomy 28:13, the head room. "Sit not down in the highest room. Don't try to exalt yourself as the head, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place." That is, you sat down in the upper chamber, and the man that had the feast and the wedding says, you get down out of that seat. I've got another man to sit up here. "And he that bade thee and him come and say unto thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room." Have you ever been removed from being head? Have you ever been in your life removed from being head to becoming tail, the tail? Have you ever had your life turned upside down where it looked like you were just being blessed beyond measure and you forgot God, and then God brought you down low? And then have you had other times when you were low and God, by His mercy and grace, that God began to lift you up again? In my life, there have been several times that I've gone from, I think, being the head to being the tail, and then experience those judgments of God and repent and turn back to the Lord and serve Him and honor Him and hearken to His word, and He begins to lift me up again. And then before I know it, you know what happens? You know what I'm prone to do? I am prone to forget the Lord my God. Verse 10 says, "But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I just want to leave you with that tonight, that whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. It's a wonderful blessing to sit in the presence of God. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to feel the power and the presence and the peace of God. It's a great blessing to, as the scripture says in Ephesians, to sit together in heavenly places in with Christ Jesus, my Lord. Isn't that a great blessing to sit up there? But if we're not thankful to Him and we don't hearken to His voice, our Lord and our Savior will remove us from sitting in heavenly places, and He will make us the tail and not the head. May God help us to live close to our Lord every day and believe His word is my prayer for Christ's sake.